This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I am your host, Steve Ulscher, and, reinvention, huh?
Here we are.
The gang is all back. We've got the Mary Goulet and Hash and Richard Tay and White Wade is walking around somewhere and Kelly Poker's holding it down, which is always a very, very good thing. I got these new headphones, which I'm kind of digging.
I know.
Right? I don't know what to think about these, but I like them.
They're all for new.
They are.
Not just you.
You have new headphones.
Yeah, all of us have new headphones.
I love it. All right. This is very, very cool. All right. So it's an interesting day today. Day before April Fool's Day, March March 31st. April Fool's Day is tomorrow.
Is that April Fool's Eve or what do you call that?
I guess so. So there'll be like Fool Eve. So like April Fool, March.
Fool Eve.
Fool Eve. Something like that. All right. So let me ask you guys a question. Best April Fool's joke ever, either that someone did on you or that you did on someone.
I got nothing.
You got nothing, really?
I'm not very good at that.
Nothing?
No.
Rich, you got to have something.
You know, that's just one I've never really pulled in it. Not that I remember.
Really?
Let me think back.
All right, here, I'll give you one. So I have an email list, right? So I've got people who subscribe to my, for whatever reason, they think I have something to say and they subscribe, which is very, very cool and I appreciate that, but I think I disappoint them more often than not. But that's, they stay on the list for whatever reason. So a couple years ago, April Fool's, I decided that I was going to do an email, which I said basically in the email, this is the last email you're ever going to receive from me. Okay. And that was the subject line. Like, this is the last email you'll ever receive from me. So typically my open rates are somewhere between, you know, maybe 8% and maybe 15% on the high end. Well, this had an open rate of around 22-23%, something like that.
Happy to see you go.
Happy to see me go.
They're like,
oh, thank God we can finally stop getting stuff from this guy. All right. And so in the email, what I said was that basically, you know, I've done a lot of thinking about it. I've spent a lot of years in this corporate grind. I just can't do it anymore. And I am taking my family and myself to a commune in Texas. A commune in Texas that will have no internet connection, that has no phones, and basically this is the last bit of correspondence that you will ever get from me. And the funniest thing is that evidently I'm so whacked that
it
cuts both ways, right? It's either like I am so whacked that people believe that it's even possible for me to do it, or it's just kind of like they were hoping I was. And it was sort of like, okay, goodbye. You know, we can't believe you're doing this, but, you know, see you later. So it's like,
glad we won't be getting any more emails.
Oh, my God, right? But so it's kind of funny because I think people just – we're like, you know, I think he's just about crazy enough that he might do that. So that was interesting.
Pretty, did they unsubscribe?
No, I followed it up with an email like about, you know, 12 hours later or something like that. It's, you know, just April Fool's joke, that kind of thing. So you guys really have nothing, though? No April Fool's joke?
I was trying to think while you're talking. I don't know why I never really got into that one.
Yeah, I'm not a practical joker.
Not a practical joker.
I did not. Baseball.
I'm a joker, but not a practical one.
All right. All right. So here's a couple things. So if you're working in an office environment, here's a few things that are kind of fun for April Fools. And tell me if you guys have ever experienced any of these. I doubt you have, but, you know, people have a lot of time on their hands, evidently, because the stuff that they come up with in terms of, like, the best April Fools jokes, it's pretty impressive, really, when
there's
you come right down
ones.
To it. So if you work in an office environment, one of the things that evidently works really, really well, and I didn't even know this existed. Did you know that there is a flipped screen mode on computers?
No.
You mean where it's seeing like you instead of you're seeing that it, or what?
Like on your phone?
So like it goes upside down, basically.
Oh.
And I can't figure out why.
Oh, I just thought of one. Yeah, yeah.
I can't figure out why there would be a flipped screen mode, but evidently there is. So, like, you go into your office workers, you know, you're just messing around, whatever. And then you say, hey, you know what? I am going to go ahead here and touch this flip screen thingy. And then they're going to turn on the computer and then bang, everything's going to be upside down. So, I don't know. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think? 1, 2?
All right. I thought of one, though.
You thought of one. Go.
Yeah, yeah. It's similar. As soon as you said that, I reminded me. We took a screenshot of their computer basically as if it was working. We did two different ones. One was a screenshot as if they could do something, but then they couldn't mess with their computer at all. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't click on anything.
Oh, so it was like frozen.
So they didn't know what the heck to do. And the other one was we did this exact same thing, but we froze it with a porn site up. So everyone that walked by their desk was seeing the porn on there and was laughing at them.
Oh, that's funny.
So Kelly called in. She has one.
Kelly has one. Oh, Kelly, come on. Kelly, producer extraordinary. What is it? I want to know.
Well, let her talk.
Well, it actually was as a whole office thing, that joke that we went to play on our boss and carried it over a whole weekend, actually. So, like, on Friday, one by one, everybody started going in periodically and giving their notice that they were quitting.
Oh, jeez. That's awesome.
How many were there?
There were six of us total in the whole office, and four... everybody but me was giving their notice.
So you would be the last employee standing?
right. And then he was just stressing out so bad, he started to call the HR and the home office, which we had already talked to, and we just had him going the whole time.
You should have went in and went for a raise when everyone else
was gone. Everybody else is gone.
Right. You really need me. That's pretty good.
Well, the thing was that he wasn't even going to promote me. I had to stay where I was. I'm like, well, that's not fair.
Boy, I tell you really figure out your value in the organization at that point. Now, everybody else leaves, and they go, you know what, Kelly? We're just going to have to replace those positions. You're going to stay where you are.
That's so funny.
Exactly.
Oh, man, that is funny. All right, anything else, Kelly, that you have had happened to you on an April Fool's joke that you were like, oh, man, that was a good one?
Nothing that stands out, no.
All right.
I've got my husband a couple times.
Nothing like itching
when
powder.
When I told him I was pregnant.
You told him you were pregnant?
Yeah.
And this was just like last year, right? Your kids are all grown and you're like, oops. Sorry, honey. Yeah, that'll learn us. For the one time we did it, you know, in the last 6 months, that's what happens, you know? There we go. So, all right. Oops, right? All right. But nothing. Okay, here, I got a couple. No, like, itching powder ones. You guys ever know? Sneezing powder? No, nothing like that. All right.
Nope.
I did do an exploding cigarette to my boss. That same boss who wasn't going to promote me.
Right. Did you do it before or after?
I did it after, I think.
You did it, right? Smart. Yeah, at that point, you're like, fuck it. I don't give a shit anymore. Whatever happens in this, you know, it just happens. So there you go. All right. Anything else on the April Fool's run, Kelly?
No.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for joining us, Kelly. Producer extraordinaire.
She's listening. She's our one listener.
I know. Thank you for that. We love
you. You sound great, by the way, Kelly.
Yeah, I know.
Are you one of the three people with a real telephone?
What is a nice connection that is. That is very impressive.
It's that connected landline, you know?
Wow. All right, so now if we ever need a landline, we know at least one place in the world that has it. All right, very cool. All right, so here are a couple of others. All right, Kelly.
Bye.
So here are a couple of others. This is kind of like what Kelly said, but a little bit different. So if you're in an office environment, you can set up a strategy basically for everyone to just continuously call like the same worker all day long. So the guy's phone never stops ringing. I kind of like that one. Here's a good one. Replacing hand sanitizer with, what would you replace it with? What looks the same that would just be like, ooh, that's gross.
Glue?
Lube.
Lube.
Oh, no. I'm thinking glue.
Right? Oh, that's good. Lube would be good. Hair gel would be another one, right? Oh, man, that's a good one. Yeah. Oh, God. I didn't even think about lube, and you would think that would have been the first thing I would have thought of. Now, this is just straight cruel. So, like, if you hate your kids and you really just want to figure out, like, okay,
hate your kids.
I'm saying if you hate your kids. Okay. Not that I do, but I'm saying for those who hate their kids, because I can't see any reason why anyone would ever, 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 forever, ever do this. But if you have a lot of time on your hands and you're looking for something to just really send people over the edge, especially if you've got kids at home, do this with Oreo cookies. Okay, so you open up the Oreo cookies, scrape out the yummy cream filling, and then you replace it with, guess.
Toothpaste?
Yeah, toothpaste, exactly. That's what you do. So you take the toothpaste, you put it in, put it back in the bar. They're like, oh, man. So evidently, you have to be very careful, though, about the type of toothpaste that you use, because if you give them, like, toothpaste that'll, I guess some, I don't even know how. I don't want to be the test dummy that figures this stuff out, which is like, okay, this toothpaste you can eat, but this toothpaste you can't.
Doesn't that in and of itself sound strange to you?
Like, I mean, you clean your teeth. Why would
You're supposedly brushing your teeth with something that's not supposed to go down your throat.
So
that doesn't make sense.
So if it's not edible, then you should really be scared because you're putting that in your mouth. That makes sense. All right, last one here that I thought was kind of interesting is, you know how like go in the mouth. You've got your mouse there, right? So if you look at the bottom of the mouse, right? So on the bottom of the mouse, there's like that little mirror reflector thingy, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, back in the day, they actually used to have rollers. Does that even have a roller?
Or is Wade's that just
like
does,
one of those?
Yes.
Wade still has a roller. What is that? That's got like that infrared something or another
on
it,
roller.
Right? Oh, that has the roller. Okay. So I don't know if that works or not, if it has a roller. You got to give us a good April Fool. No, Wade's got nothing. All right. But here's what you can do. You can put like a post-it note. You can tape like a post-it note over the bottom of the mouse where like that little infrared thing is. And then like no matter how they try to move their mouse, then it doesn't do anything. All right. That's all I got for the office. Wade, you got one.
Oops. Got to give you a mic.
Give him a mic.
Just real quick for all of us old folks, IBM Selectrix in typing class, you pop the little ball that's got all the letters on it and put it back on without locking it in place.
So it just
and everybody
off.
Sits down, and at the start of the class, everybody and all the balls go flying around.
Oh, man. Leave it to Wade. All right. Awesome. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little break here on Reinvention Radio, and we'll be back with the gang right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All righty, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I am your host, Steve Olscher, and this was going to be an interesting episode because at some point here, Adam Markell will hopefully join us, but there's a, you know, that's the beauty of Southern California, and every now and again, what's that thing they call it?
Waves.
Traffic. That's what it is.
No, I was thinking waves.
It was pretty bad traffic. If he's coming, where's he coming from, north or south?
Carlsbad.
I should have given the guy a ride. Who knew he was coming from? There you go. Now I know. Next time I will give him a ride. All right. So we'll catch up with Adam here in just a few. I'm still trying to figure out these headphones, though. I got to tell you, it's different. It's very different. And I'm liking it, though. I'm liking it a little bit.
It's really crisp.
It's very crisp.
Yes.
You know? And you don't have, like, I got used to, like, hearing Rich going, like, cutting out every other word. I can actually hear everything now, so I'm not even sure what to do with that. All right, let me ask you a question. So, January, February, this is it. All right, so we are at the end of the first quarter. Do you guys do, like, we're going to talk about reinventing sort of midlife crises and that sort of things, which kind of begs the question of, like, planning, right? In terms of, like, here we are, we're 40 years old, we're 50 years old. But, I mean, we're all sort of in that same general age bracket for the most part. Do you believe in midlife crisis? Do you, I mean, because here we are in 2016, before we know it, end of this first quarter. I mean, today literally is the end of the first quarter. This year is going to blow by. It always seems like just time just flies. First and foremost, do you think life is short or do you think life is long? Mary, go.
Jeez. It's kind of like when you have babies. It's the longest time period, but it goes by the fastest because you never get any sleep.
Yeah.
So life, it depends on what you're going through. I think with the kids being teenagers now, I think life is going by in lightning fast.
Yeah. All right. Sweet. So before it was, life was short, and now life is going well. Now, I guess
you'll
technically it would
fast.
Be. Yeah. Okay. So technically, then it would be life is short. All right, Rich. How about you, my man?
I think it's both. Life kind of goes with what Mary was saying about having kids. It just seems like yesterday and a million years ago at the same time.
Yeah. All right. Very cool. And so, Wade, you got something. Yeah, absolutely. So life is short or life is long?
Yeah. Well, it depends on where in life you are. And so I was just going to make the point, midlife crisis, you know, as far as I know, is that point where, A, you finally figured yourself out.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a while for us to figure out who we are, what we really like.
For sure.
And then you go, oh, crap, am I even close to being who I want to be? And then the second thing is you get old enough that you're like, I'm going to die before too long. Am I getting everything done? So I think midlife crisis is just that point where both you realize you don't have forever. Life is getting to the short side. And you've had a chance to reassess, am I even doing what I'm supposed to be doing?
Well, and but that.
What is your what?
What is your what? Or pivot. How about that, right? That's like a perfect segue.
Nice segue.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much. All right, so Adam just joined us here in studio. And by the way, before I totally butcher it, it's Markel.
It is. It's Mark.
Got it.
Some people say Markle. You got it right out of the first
Markel. All right,
first
very
shot.
Cool. Well, beautiful. Thank you for joining us. And we were talking about that here we are in Southern California. And by the way, evidently we're neighbors, which I didn't know. Otherwise, I would have given you a ride.
Is that right?
I'm in Carlsbad, well. So you're there also?
Beautiful Carlsbad. Yeah.
The wife doesn't want to stay there, though. We're moving to the UTC neighborhood. So there you have it. Okay, but Pivot, that's the name of your book, right? And so when is that coming out? Is that already out or is that just about to come out?
No, April 19th.
April 19th. Yeah. So here we go. So just
way
a couple
exciting.
Weeks. All right. Yeah. So you know how Chris Rock talked about, you know, life ain't short, life is long, you know? So we're just talking about that.
Life is
right
long
now.
When you're miserable.
Well, there
it's
you
short
go.
Short when you're happy.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So take us back through your history here. At what point did you turn the corner and say, you know what? Life is going to be what I make it, and I am going to enjoy whatever ride I've got left here. Because most people who are in the situation that you're at now, where you're in that positive place, most people that I know haven't always been in that place. There are very few people that I know who kind of are those blow the sunshine out of their ass kind of people where, like, all day, every day, they're just like happy, you know? Because I think that's a myth. I think those people are so authentic that it circles back around to being inauthentic.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, because life is life, you know? And like Rich, we were talking about, you know, before the show here, I've got some fucked up things going on right now. And it's just like, you know, that happy face, unhappy, smiley, you know, it's like the mask thing. And I think that's just kind of life. But do you remember kind of when things turned for you? Because you're a happy, cheery guy.
Well, not by nature.
Not by nature.
No, this is
we
this
could get
a really
nature
good
and nurture thing, then. Yeah, here we go.
He'll be on my side on that one, I promise.
All right, here we go.
When we come, you know, nature, I'm a native New Yorker, and I don't know that anybody, at least
from
nobody that I grew up with, was naturally, you know, sunshine and happy and all that kind of thing. I think we kind of thrive on the angst, on the stress, and that was what I was taught, what it was modeled around me growing up, and I played it out. I was a lawyer. I was an 80-hour week grinding.
No shit. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I slept in the office, workaholic.
Married kids at that point?
Yeah. You know, I married my college sweetheart.
Mm.
Really, man, oh, man. Thank God. I say that out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Just
how long you been? Are you still with her?
Yeah. Right. No, divorce.
She's still with
divorce.
You.
Like.
That's why you just said thank God. So, how long you guys been married now?
26 years.
Wow, congratulations.
Is that crazy
or
what?
I gotta bump that.
Yeah.
Here's my theory, by the way, Adam. It's like, if you've got, first of all, if you're married, you've got kids, you've been married for, you know, a good chunk of time. I think.
And by the way, I was listening to the podcast you did with Ariel Ford.
At the beginning of
March.
I had to be nice on that
Randy
one.
My wife Randy and I were listening to that this morning.
Were you? All right, yeah. So I had to really bring that one down, like just tone it down. It's Ariel Ford, be respectful, keep the bath.
Yeah, you were pretty
away.
low key, right?
On that one. I had out of respect for Ariel. So sometimes I can actually have that softer side. But I believe that if you're single, you can't really talk to a guy who's married, has kids, right? I mean, it's like we have a conversation, but we don't really relate. If you're married but you don't have kids, we can kind of start to talk a little bit on the same page. If you're married and you've got one kid, you've just got a pet, right? So it's like you don't even really have kids at that point. If you're married and you've got more than one kid, okay, now we can talk. And if you're married and you've got more than one kid and you've been married for more than 10 years, okay, now we can have a conversation.
When you're outnumbered, When they outnumber you, it's a completely different thing.
How many do you have?
And we have four.
Oh, man.
Wow.
All girls, boys.
And we're not even Mormon. I mean, I grew up in a small little apartment in Queens, New York, Bayside, and shared a room with my brother.
Wow.
Just two of us, the size of a closet. I mean, it's like a walk-in closet.
Right?
We go home, and my mom, she's stubborn. She still lives in that apartment building.
Does she really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And that's just... So the idea of, you know, big family and all that was really, really foreign.
Boys, girls, what's the
mix? We have three girls and a boy.
Now, I have a theory. And the theory is, and run this kind of through the people that you know. I believe that the people who have girls, predominantly girls, are the softer souls in terms of the men, are the more of the softer souls.
I agree
souls.
With that 100%.
And the guys and the men who have mostly boys are just like the, you know, just the caveman and just off of our rockers. And that's me. I've got nothing but I can only make boys.
What? Poor Lena.
Because they're lunatics. Boys are little maniacs.
What do you think?
I love our son, but he's a completely different animal.
What do you think? Boys?
So I agree. I'm the one who got teary-eyed on Ariel Ford's show,
right,
and I got a girl.
And you cried on that show.
Yeah.
Cried like a baby
You were
on
trying
that
to
show.
Make the other girl cry, and I started crying instead.
That was funny.
Oh, you guys all, obviously, you all know that Richard and I know each other, right?
Well, yeah, and actually, I've sat in your seat for the Padres game, so thank you for that.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, that was much appreciated.
That's one you both have in common. You both have done conferences. You both have kids that you've brought to the games and sat in the seats.
That is awesome. So thank you for that, by the way. I really appreciate it. All right.
Good
but take us back through, because you've got a pretty storied career, really. Like you said, you were in the lawyer world. You slept, you know, 18 hours, or you were in 18 hours a day working, slept at the office. What was that turning point where you just kind of went, beep, I got to turn that switch off?
Yeah. You know, this is a story that's familiar to me. I've told it to God knows 100,000 people around the world, you know, Singapore and Malaysia and Vietnam, all over.
So let's talk about what happened in Asia that you haven't told those stories. How about this? Let's go there.
It always starts with the same thing. It starts with misery. I was 18 years in the practice of law, and I was a workaholic, and I did it for the most part. After the first 5 years, I say this with as much humility and vulnerability as I can. I hated what I did. Mm. I got up in the morning and I was doing it for the money. That's the bottom line. You know, houses, cars, kids, dogs, goldfish, you know, all that stuff.
Sure.
And we've all been there. And a lot of people probably listening to this are there now. Well, yeah. You're doing something to take care of your responsibilities in life. And primarily that's obligation. And anything you do out of obligation has a certain energy about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And anything you do from your heart and because you love it and because you're in service or you want to be in service or you want to clean your karma or whatever it is that motivates you on a sort of semi-spiritual level, completely different energy. I woke up in the morning to go to my work, my business. I had a law practice in Manhattan and one in New Jersey. And the first thought, I put my feet on the floor, and the first sort of words out of my mouth, thoughts in my head were like, fuck, or shit. And like starting a day, a brand
like,
new day, it's dark out. My kids, I'm not going to see my kids go to school. I won't have breakfast or share an orange, you know, have juice or cereal with them. And the bed is warm. My wife is sleeping, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning. I put my feet on the floor, and I cannot believe I'm going to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just painful.
How many years?
I went on like that for a good 10 years.
Did you really?
I mean, look, that's like that Pink Floyd song. You know that song, Time?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
10 years gets behind you. No one tells you when to run. You miss the starting gun. Boom.
Right.
Your life is over.
Right.
And I got to a place, I'm even, you know, hairs are standing up now. I got to a place
not on
in
your
my,
head, though, by the way.
No. Just, for the listeners, right, I'm completely bald. Because among the things that happened during my my stint in that miserable existence was that I lost my hair.
Yeah.
You know, stress shows up in lots of ways, right?
Yeah, it does. And we'll talk about that because I do believe that it will come out one way or the other, whether you like it or not. And it's interesting how that all manifests. So we'll talk more with Adam Markell here on Reinvention Radio right now.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I'm your host, Steve Ulcher. We've got a full house today. Mary Valet's back in the chair. Yay!
Yes,
welcome
I
back,
am.
Mary. Rich Ote is here, and Adam Markell has joined us. And interesting story trying to get over here. You know, and by the way, you were perfectly on time because the first segment, we always just kind of shoot the shit anyway. So we're talking about April Fool's jokes. Do you, well, you got four kids, man. Do you do any April Fool's jokes on them or anything been done to you that's pretty memorable April Fool's wise?
I just pretend I'm their daddy that day.
Yeah, we got some news, kids. All right, so it's interesting because we were talking about your trip over here and how reliant we are on our technology. You said your phone, like, completely died. So you've never been to this radio station before. You have no idea where we are. Everything is in the phone. The address, your assistants. I mean, Rich's, my everything is in
phone. My lifelines are tied up in that phone.
Right? And so your kid took the charger out of the Jeep.
Yep.
And so you're sitting there, like, literally with no juice. You've got no way to charge. You said you went into Staples. You just wanted to get, like, 2 seconds of charging. And the guy wouldn't let you charge your phone.
What did he say to you?
He just could barely form a sentence. I mean, the guy, he's pointing at where the chargers are. You know, just go buy one.
Just, no, dude, I just want to plug in for, like, 2 seconds.
Give me 2 minutes of juice.
Oh, man. So you run back into the car, you plug, you start revving the engine, trying to get like a little, like 1%. You know,
exactly.
just give me like a little something. Obviously, it fired up and here you are. But it brought up an interesting point about you were talking about how we are all sort of in this eye of the storm. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, every day, and maybe it's not an everyday thing, but to me, sort of life throws us challenges all the time. That's not unusual. And some of them are more, you know, they are more profound than others. It can take us out. Just that one thing could have completely taken me out. I'm going to miss this broadcast. I've made a commitment to people. You know, all that stuff gets triggered. And that older energy, that energy that I used to live in all the time when I was a full-time lawyer, I was kind of constantly doing battle. And that was my inside, you know, what was going on inside and what was manifesting outside. Everything I did was sort of a battle. I was angry all the time. And I could have gone into that mode very easily. Instead, I took a few deep breaths and I pivoted. My pivot was, where can I find a charge? I immediately sort of in
solution.
A solution. Went right to a solution. Found a Staples in less than a minute. You know, get into Staples. First thing the guy says was, you can't plug your phone in. It's like, all right, I'm not going to waste 30 seconds like getting into a beef with the guy.
Yeah.
You know, like that's East Coast, right?
Totally.
And I told you I'm from Chicago. So I get it.
Yeah. I'm like, no, man, I'll go get the charger, get in the car. Yeah. I'm going to rev the engine until this thing. So eco-friendly? No, not quite. But I got the phone.
And you're in a Jeep with like 42-inch tires to
exactly.
boot. You know, those big knobby tires. Just like rolling over cars to get here.
but the best part, Steve, is that I know I have a charger in that car, and as soon as my phone ran out, I went to reach for it, and my
son is in trouble.
He drove the car last night, took the flipping charger.
Oh, man. So it's like muscle memory. You know, I don't know how it is for you guys, but like I'm so bad at this point. Like anytime I get to a red light, pick up my phone. You know, it's like I look at it, and if I leave my phone somewhere and I get to a red light, I like instinctually I look for it. I'm like, damn, I don't have my phone. I can't check anything. So you reach for the charger. The charger's like, oh, man, the charger should be right there, and it's not.
It's like a comedy of errors.
Yeah.
But the deal is that, to me, a part of what we can retrain ourselves to do is how do you react and what are your habitual responses to situations?
Okay, so let's talk about this.
That's interesting.
Because we have a debate about nature versus nurture. And this is a perfect opportunity.
He's just on the wrong side of the whole thing.
I'm on the right side of it because I think Adam's with me on this one. Just a hunch. I think Adam's with me on this
Promise you he's not.
I think so.
Want to place a bet?
$5.
$5. $5 bet.
I'll have his hundreds, but that's fine. I'll take your five. All right, so here's the question. The question is, you grew up in New York, right? So you've got kind of that, you know, that New York East Coast way, which means somebody fucks with you, you fuck with them back. I mean, like, period. You know, somebody pushes you, you push them back. You're not passive. You grow up in that environment. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to do what you got to do. I came from Chicago.
It's a schoolyard mentality.
You know, it's like eat or be, you know, or just, you know, starve, right? I mean, those are your choices.
Or be eaten
or that. And so the question is, that is who you are, I believe, innately. Now, you have come to a higher place of consciousness where you've got this situation like what happened in Staples where, you know, you're sitting there. You could have easily gone off on the guy, you know, dude, I just need 2 seconds of your charger. But you have grown as a person in a way that might argue would fall onto the nurture side of the equation because that way of being is probably not innate to you, but you had to learn how to be that way. Mm. So in that case, one would argue that nurture is stronger than nature. So just curious in terms of what your take is on which wins, nature versus nurture.
All right, so I don't know who's on which side of the argument.
This would
be fun, right?
Yeah.
We're not born, like, so the thing we say in New York, I would meet somebody on the street, the first words are, how you doing?
How you doing?
Yep. Right? You go back and forth a bunch of times. I had a group once. I was speaking about 3,000 people in Hanoi.
Did you see that? Just like, you know, I had this small little speaking gig. It was 3,000 people.
And this is all I taught them for the first 10 minutes was how to say, how you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing? Right?
But I'd love to heard their response.
Yeah, no kidding, right? We're not born knowing how to say, how you doing? Mm-hmm. We're not born angry. So even though I grew up in New York, that was my environment. An environment is stronger than will. That's what Buckminster Fuller said.
Sounds like he's on my side.
Hold on. He's not done yet. Hold on.
All right.
I say both, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, this, look.
All right, keep going.
Yeah, there's no question that we're predisposed to certain things. And I definitely think that our DNA and the things that are in the cells of our body got passed on to us from our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and even as Eckhart Tolle, you know, wrote about in The New Earth, there's a collective DNA. We can have a pain body that's collective. You know, certain groups, certain places of the world where there's been great pain, and it gets passed on generationally. Mm-hmm. So I think there's no question that there's a both element to it.
Yeah. So, I mean, push comes to shove. Does that New Yorker come back out?
Here's the thing. I overrode the New Yorker this morning. That's the point, is that our ability to change our environment and create these pivot moments for ourselves, pivot points in our life, you don't have to go back to that pattern. But it takes practice.
It takes a lot of practice.
It's like a muscle, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't practice something, you don't use that muscle, it atrophies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, clearly you take a seminar, read a book, and it's all interesting, and you're, you know, and you maybe even start to use it a bit. But if you don't continue to practice it ritualistically,
yeah,
you'll atrophy. You go back to the, you know.
So it sounds like you're leaning towards nurture.
I'm leaning toward environment.
Towards environment. So you are a byproduct of the environment you're in. Although, right? I mean, it's like, who was the girl that we had on Reinventing Foster Kids? Ashley, right? Ashley Rhodes Court, with amazing story. In and out of like 15 foster homes. I mean, abused, just a horrible, horrible life. And yet she came out the other side as an adult and said, this is not who I'm going to be. I'm not going to be defined by what happened. So if her life was just a reflection of that environment that she was a part of for all of those years, she'd be in a crazy place. So my argument on that side is it's in her nature. That DNA is already pre-programmed. So that's a way to look at it. But Rich, go ahead.
Well, how do you explain two sisters, right?
It's both.
Right, Rich, you know this.
Yeah, yeah.
You've heard this story. I mean, two sisters that are both abused by the same father. And you get one sister, you know, twins. And one comes out and, you know, has a marriage, good relationships, healthy children, doesn't abuse them. And the other sister's the, you know, drugs, no good relationships, you know.
That's the one I want to date.
Yeah. That's
date was the key.
date once, right? Yeah. And you go, how does that happen if it's DNA? Same, they come out, I mean, I'll watch four kids be born. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they come out of the same place, the same two parents.
But if there's one gene that's different because they are twins, there is something that is different. So maybe it's just that one little gene that spells the difference. I don't know. It's a pretty interesting discussion.
Both.
What were you going
to
say, Rich?
Well, it's kind of, it's both. To continue a little bit with what Adam's saying, I believe in one story that was similar that Tony Robbins did with the two brothers, similar thing. He asked, how did you turn out this way after that effect? Asked them both the same question, and they both said the same answer. How else would I have turned out with a dad like that? Mm-hmm. So obviously it's the interpretation of the environment too, and the interpretation of what's going on. It's not just what happens to you. It's how you feel about what's happening to you, how you react to what's happening to you, and what you do moving forward.
Yeah.
Epigenetics, we talked about that.
We did.
That's how...
And I still don't know what it means, but yeah, we said
consciousness can change you at a cellular level.
Yes.
So you're walking around with your DNA, but then... You put yourself in a different environment and feed yourself with different thoughts, and you change your DNA.
Yeah.
You know, when a flower's sitting there, here's this last thing, and back to what Adam's saying. When a flower's sitting there and the flower starts to have, it's wilting over or something's going wrong, you don't start
kind of like Bernie Sanders.
You don't.
You watch that guy through the election.
Wilting
like
over.
He started like way. He started like straight up. Now
it's
he's
stressful.
Like, he's like he keeps dropping. Like by now he's gonna be at like you know at like 90 degrees by the time the election actually hits.
But you fix the environment of the flower. You give it better
soil,
more light, more water. You don't chastise the flower.
Look, you can put a piranha. You can put a piranha in a tank. You know, it's like you can like all these happy little goldfish just kind of swimming around. You can put a piranha in that environment, and all that guy's going to do is fucking see a buffet. You know, it's like he's not going to change because there's little goldfish around. He's going to be like, oh, cool, buffet.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's interesting too is that you brought this. This is great, Rich. That environment. What is environment anyway? Like we all automatically go to physical, right? You think environment, right. You think physical. You grew up in Chicago, me in New York. I mean, the flower analogy, all that. To me, the environment that we're really talking about is the environment of your mind.
Yes.
So this is where that story comes in. What do you tell yourself on a regular basis? So you know, I believe there's two conversations we're all having all the time, 24/7.
For sure.
It's either a conversation of limitation or it's a conversation of opportunity, of possibility.
Nice.
And those are different things entirely.
Yeah, absolutely. And so... It's hard to believe here, man, but we're going to actually have to talk about your book and about the other things that are going on because time flies. So there's the question. Is life short or is life long? This is way too short because we could have Adam here for hours and hours. All right, we'll be back with Adam Markell on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I'm your host, Steve Olscher, along with Mary Gwillay, Rich O'Te, and Adam Markell's in the house. Kelly Poker holding it down, and White Wade somewhere around here as well. All right, so here's what we did. We brought you into the studio. You ran in because there was some accident somewhere in California and traffic slowed down for you, which I'm thoroughly convinced, like, that's just kind of how the California driving mentality is. It's like that spider sense. You know, it's like that spidey sense. Like, somewhere there's an accident. I have to slow down. So you got caught up in that. You got the whole Staples thing. You ran into the studio. Here you are.
Yes.
You are, like, a seriously impressive dude, and we didn't even give you an opportunity to, like, set the stage here in terms of what you do. Because, like, where were you in terms of Harbecker in that whole scenario, right? Because wasn't that part of that whole world as well?
Yeah, so I'm the CEO of New Peaks.
Okay.
And New Peaks is the company that purchased what was Harvecker's company
okay.
back in the day.
Gotcha.
And
sure.
he was, you know, most famous, I think, for The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that book changed my life, just like Tony Robbins' Waking the Giant Within mm-hmm. changed my life, and Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I mean, I was a hardcore New York City attorney. Mm. I didn't go to workshops. I didn't go to seminars. I didn't, you know, I didn't meditate. All I did was get out there and cut people up for a living.
Yeah, I got a meditation for you right here, huh?
Make money, come home, be with the family. I mean, you know.
Meditate on this.
Yeah, it's a different life. So I made a significant change from that. That those times when I
yeah, but you don't buy T. Harv Eker's company without like getting. I mean, like
no.
what happened?
That's many lily pads along the way,
right? So yeah. What happened in between deciding I'm not putting my feet on the floor here anymore, and then getting to the point where you could say, okay, Harv, just give me the company.
Was there a paradigm shift?
There was a paradigm shift.
Okay,
and that's the book. That's the book I've written. It's called Pivot: The Art and Science of Reinventing
Your
Career and Life. How appropriate is that for this show? Right,
tagline right there.
Couldn't get it any better.
Nice.
So. You know, for me, the reinvention is not a jump ship. That's not what I did. Four kids, again, the dogs, the houses, all those things. I didn't just decide to come home one day and tell my wife, I'm leaving the law. Instead, I came home and I told my wife, I said, and she tells this story, it's kind of funny. I sit there, I go, and this is like 9 o'clock for like the third week in a row that I got home after the kids went to sleep.
Yeah,
and I didn't get to read them a bedtime story. And this is because I'm working in my Manhattan office till 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. I know I can feel everybody want to take a deep breath on that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get home, the traffic, I'm home at 9:30 and they're sleeping again. And I walked in and I said, listen, if I keep doing what I'm doing, you're going to be a widow.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. I knew, she knew. I had her support. That's the good news. She didn't say to me, you're out of your mind. Check it. Just look around at all this, right? And she was working. She was a full-time teacher. What I did was I made a series of pivots. And a pivot to me is, you know, like in basketball, you know, you can...
Right.
A pivot creates new vision. You mm-hmm. can create greater vision by just kind of making a small move.
Yeah.
And that even a 5-degree change in direction over time, when you look at it, those two lines diverge so greatly. And what I love about what I do now and what our company does and what the book is all about is it helps people to disrupt the status quo, because the status quo is what leads to mediocrity, and mediocrity is an awful epidemic.
Did you listen to the – you weren't
here
for
the intro?
Right, I was like,
no.
You'll have to stick around for this next segment, because you'll love the way that we describe Reinvention Ready, because that's like – Did you?
He
you
took
sure
the
you,
words.
I think
he took your words.
There's like copyright infringement, I think, right there.
It could be going either way. I don't know. Remember,
don't
I'm
forget
still,
who's the attorney.
I'm
here,
not
Steve.
A practice.
Don't start it too early.
Hey, he loves his life. He's not going to do anything. That's what the shirt says. The shirt says it. So
Mary, what's say on my shirt?
I love my life.
Okay, so here's a ritual I want to give your folks.
Please.
Real quick, right? And this is a ritual, it's a pivot practice. So the book is really cool because it's divided up into three parts. The first part is about clarity. And clarity is simply, like you imagine you're driving down the road of your life in a car. Like we had car going on, a lot of car stories today.
Yeah.
The windshield is, you know, caked with mud and dirt, right? Are you going to drive slow or fast?
Slow.
Well, see, Mary's going to drive slow, but Steve's going to drive fast.
Yes, because
right?
I figure the faster I drive, the more mud's going to fly off,
yeah,
and I'll
yeah.
be fine.
And there's a lot of people that are driving down the road of their life fast, and they can't see for shit, right?
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is that they're dangerous to themselves, and they're dangerous to other people. And then there's the other group of people that are leading lives of quiet desperation, as I think Henry David Thoreau
yes.
said, right? And that's
yes.
a life of going very slow, very safely, because they cannot see. That's the mediocrity.
Mm.
And so the key is to clear the windshield, just to get clarity so that you can see more.
Even if you don't like what you're looking at.
Even if, especially
just,
if you don't know
right,
like
just
what you're looking
take
at.
Take stock of your life, and I like the visual of the pivot and turning, like, okay, what do I see at home? What do I see in my work? What do I see with my friends?
Exactly.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, you create more vision. And then the next step is, once you have that greater vision, what do you do with it? And so the second part of the book is just about momentum. It's the, what's the first domino? And the domino effect is amazing because you imagine a domino, I mean, this is, you know, science. A domino can knock over another domino 1.5 times its size. That's the whole way that dominoes work, right? Mm. So you start out with a domino, it's just the 3/8 of an inch high, a tiny little thing you could blow over. 29 dominoes later, that domino is tall enough, big enough to knock over the Empire State Building.
Wow.
Wow.
That's incredible. That's momentum. And then once you're in momentum, the question is, well, how do you sustain it? Because we all know people that have had some success or been happy for a period, great relationship for a period, great body for a period, great money for a period, and it all disappears. So it's a sustainable issue. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see even in the personal development space.
For sure.
Is that people don't sustain the results. So the third, last part is what are the rituals? What are the practices that you do and you can do for 21 straight days because that's how long it takes to create a new habit.
Mm-hmm.
And rituals are just intentional practices that ultimately become unconscious ways of living and being that then become those habitual things. So to me, this I Love My Life shirt is my ritual. I wake up in the morning. I do 3 things. It's so simple. The first part is I wake up. What do?
You wake up.
There you go. And think about that. There are people, when I take my first breath, when you took your first breath this morning, Steve,
mm-hmm.
right? Mary, Rich, you took your first breath. There were people all over this planet were taking their last breath at that exact same second.
Whoa.
Right? Deep, right?
Get that out of my head in the morning.
So immediately I go, hello, I'm awake.
Gratitude.
This is good. I'm waking up. And the next step is, what's something I'm grateful for? You know, my life, my family, anything. I can get the chills in a minute just thinking about what I'm grateful for.
Mm.
And the last part, so it's the second part, third part, I put my feet on the floor, which is a blessing all by itself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I stand up on my hand on my heart and I say, I love my life.
Mm.
And what nice. I teach people all over the world is just do that for 21 days and watch the paradigm, because use that word, Mary, watch the paradigm shift for you. This is not about positive thinking and all that airy-fairy, you know, stuff. It's a power principle.
Mm-hmm.
That what you focus on expands. You want to focus on gratitude. You focus on what you love about your life. The crazy part about your brain, that medulla, that reptilian brain that wants to keep you safe. And the way it keeps you safe is by being right. Because if you're wrong, you die.
Yeah.
So to be right, it's constantly looking for ways to confirm what you say. So if you say you love your life, you'll spend the entire day.
You calm your nervous system down.
You calm your nervous system down. And your brain looks all day long for ways to confirm that what you said is true.
Wow. All right, so here's what we got to do. We got to give you a chance.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, so let's give people a chance to get the book. Let's get people a chance, get them a chance to find out more about you. Where's the best place for folks to go for the book? Where's the best place for folks to go to learn more about what you're doing? And so on. This is your opportunity here. Just plug away.
So let's get into it. Shameless self-promotion,
please,
right?
Please do. Absolutely.
You can go to Pivot.
You have ETR'd.
For those of you who don't know that, earn the right. That's the credibility for you, right?
You have ETR'd.
Fantastic. All right. So our company is called New Peaks, and we deliver programs, a few hundred times a year all over North America and all over the world. We've trained more than 1 million people for more than 20 years.
Nice.
So we know how people are wired. A bit like Tony Robbins, we look at how people are wired and how to help them to rewire themselves to create greater results in any area of their life. So Pivot is a book about how you can do that yourself. So you start out with a $25 book, and then you on a gradient. I read a book for $25 and went and moved my life little piece, little pivot, little change in direction after little change in direction, to the point where I went from a miserable, unhappy, workaholic lawyer living in New York to running a company, the CEO. I train, I create programs, I get to spend my days with beautiful people.
Awesome.
Plenty of money, and most importantly, balance and happiness.
Sweet.
So you go to pivotbook.com, P-I-V-O-T, book.com.
Nice.
Book is, it's in pre-release, so there's some gifts that people get when they go to get it now.
Okay.
April 19th, the book is actually launched, Simon & Schuster hardcover book. So
awesome.
It's exciting.
Pivotbook.com. Adam, it's been a pleasure. For all you guys who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the show, we really do appreciate that. We've got a whole bunch of interesting guests lined up here for the immediate future. All right, for Rich, for Mary, for Kelly, for Adam, for everybody else here, we'll talk to you guys next time on Reinvention Radio.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Ulsher, visit reinventionradio.com.